Criminal State, A Closer Look at Israel's Role in Terrorism by Jeff Gates. Part 2. Was 9/11 an inside job? The common pro-Israeli source of the phony intelligence that induced war in Iraq has yet to be acknowledged, even though intelligence experts agree that deception on such a scale required a decade to plan, staff, pre-stage, orchestrate, and, until now, cover up. The leaders of the 9/11 Commission conceded they were thwarted by Commission members adamantly opposed to hearing testimony on the hijackers' motivation for 9/11, the U.S.-Israeli relationship. The fictions reported as facts by mainstream media included Iraqi weapons of mass destruction.
Iraqi denials of supporting terrorism take their place alongside the other Iraqi denials of weapons of mass destruction. It is all a web of lies.
Iraqi ties to Al-Qaeda.
Says that a militant known as Abu Adala al-Iraqi had been sent to Iraq several times between 1997 and 2000 for help in acquiring poisons and gases. Abdullah al-Iraqi characterized the relationship he forged with Iraqi officials as successful.
Iraqi meetings with Al-Qaeda in Prague, Iraqi mobile biological weapons laboratories, and Iraqi purchases of yellowcake uranium from Niger. Only the last claim was conceded as bogus prior to the invasion. Only after the war began were the balance of the claims disclosed as false, flawed, or outright fabricated. An attempt to punish former U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Joe Wilson, for his exposure of the phony yellowcake account led to a federal conviction of Vice Presidential Chief of Staff Louis Libby, another well-placed Zionist insider. The multi-decade consistency of agent provocateur fact patterns suggests that this game theory-modeled warfare includes the Israeli provocation that catalyzed the Second Intifada. An intifada is an uprising, or literally a shaking off, of an oppressor. The Second Intifada dates from September 2000, when Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon led an armed march to Jerusalem's Temple Mount, 1 year before 9/11. After a year of calm, during which Palestinians believed that Israel was sincere about peace, suicide bombings recommenced. As Sharon conceded, his march was meant to demonstrate Israeli control over a site considered holy by Muslims worldwide. In response to this second failed attempt at shaking off Israeli domination, Sharon and Netanyahu observed that only when Americans feel our pain would they understand the plight of the victimized Israelis. These Likud party leaders commented that the requisite empathy, feel our pain, would require a weighted body count of 4,500 to 5,000 Americans lost to terrorism. The initial estimates of those who died in the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center 1 year later. In other words, only with pain could we identify with the Israelis. Does that mean that only with a mass murder could we be induced to respond with our military to advance their agenda? Was the U.S. response mathematically modeled at the Center for the Study of Rationality? 7 months after 9/11, Benjamin Netanyahu gave a speech in a U.S. Senate office building, where he was introduced by Senators John Kyle and Joe Lieberman. American Valkyrie? When successful, game theory warfare strengthens the agent provocateur while leaving the target discredited and depleted by the anticipated reaction. By game theory standards, 9/11 was a strategic success because the U.S., by its response, was widely criticized for waging war on false pretenses. Only in hindsight did a deceived public realize that Iraq had nothing to do with that mass murder. However, that invasion had everything to do with securing the realm. Our response, predictably, triggered a deadly insurgency with devastating consequences for Iraqis, the U.S., and a coalition of the willing, led to war by a successfully duped U.S. From a game theory perspective, that insurgency was a predictable reaction in a nation populated by three long-feuding sects, Sunnis, Shiites, and Kurds. A violent invasion led by a nation closely allied with Jewish nationalists only further fueled the flames of violence and extremism.
At least 55 people are dead.
Another foreseeable outcome. Until the US-led invasion, peace was maintained by an unsavory dictator and former US ally who was rebranded an evildoer in the lead-up to war. As the cost in blood and treasure from our liberation of Iraq expanded, the U.S. became overextended militarily, financially, and diplomatically. The sectarian violence unleashed in Iraq is precisely what Messrs. Rockefeller and Ghazal were cautioned against in early 1997, should Saddam Hussein be removed suddenly and violently. The 1.3 million Iraqi deaths from war-related causes exceeds the worst of Saddam Hussein's atrocities. As any competent game theory war planner knew, the strategic winner in this war was certain to be Iran, as the U.S. neutralized its key foe and is now urged by Israel to wage war on Iran. As the U.S., the primary target of this deception, emerged in the foreground, the agent provocateur faded into the background, but only after catalyzing dynamics that steadily drained the U.S. of credibility, resources, and resolve. This probabilistic Israeli victory also ensured widespread cynicism, insecurity, distrust, and disillusionment, along with a steadily declining capacity to defend our real interests. Meanwhile, the American public came under a system of oversight and surveillance, packaged and sold as Homeland Security. This ominously titled operation includes rhetorical echoes of a World War II-era fatherland, featuring a domestic security force completely alien to U.S. traditions. It is not yet clear whether this new agency was established to protect Americans, or whether it is meant to shield from Americans those responsible for deceiving us to wage their wars. In January 2003, Secret Service agent Richard Sears interrogated Mel Rockefeller at his home in Fresno, California, after he sent an email to Florida Governor Jeb Bush. The email said, in effect, that if the governor's brother, President George Bush, did not interview him on a public record prior to invading Iraq, he would do his best to ensure that lawful means were deployed to see the president executed for treason by a firing squad. When questioned by Sears, Rockefeller offered to have the agent speak with Dr. Glenn Olds, an advisor to four presidents, his senior advisor since 1994, and a former UN ambassador who assisted him in entering Iraq through Jordan at a time when Americans were prohibited from traveling there. Sears declined. Mel Rockefeller also repeated his intent to see the president executed for treason and insisted that he be charged and taken before a federal magistrate to present evidence that Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction and that an alternative to war had been available since early 1997. Agent Sears declined his demand to be arraigned in a U.S. federal district court 7 weeks before the invasion. Agent Sears should be interviewed to see if, in retrospect, he agrees that, had this advice been followed, the war in Iraq may well have been prevented. To date, no one with line responsibility has interviewed Mel Rockefeller on a public record. Why? The answer to that question would reveal those responsible for this ongoing deception. The victims of these serial deceptions, including the families of those murdered in November at Fort Hood, may have a wrongful death cause of action against those with line responsibility who aided these operations by failing to engage the Rockefeller record in a timely fashion.